Good morning. It's March 27th and this is your daily brief in Australia news. Here's everything you need to know. As cities across Australia experience a rich shaping of their demographic landscapes, Perth emerges as the fastest growing capital city in the nation. The year 2022 to 2023 saw an unprecedented influx of over 81,000 people to Perth, spotlighting a significant shift in urban growth patterns. This growth spurt is primarily fueled by overseas migration and natural increase, with suburbs like Bentley, Wilson, and St. James leading the charge in attracting international residents. As a result, population density is notably increasing, especially in Perth's inner city areas, reflecting a broader trend of urban densification. In a noteworthy development, Melbourne has dethroned Sydney to become Australia's most populous city. Both cities have seen substantial population increases, with the return of international students post-COVID-19 pandemic playing a pivotal role. Brisbane and several major regional areas in Queensland are also on an upward trajectory, adding a considerable number of residents to their populations. The nation's capital, Canberra-Queanbeyan, has now surpassed the 500,000 resident mark, while Albury-Wodonga has joined the ranks of Australia's regional centres with populations exceeding 100,000. This surge in population is not isolated to the major cities, but is a phenomenon observed across Australia's capitals and largest regional centres, which together account for 92% of the total national population increase of 634,000. This marks a considerable shift in population dynamics, highlighting the evolving landscape of urban and regional growth in Australia. In a vibrant celebration of culture and critique, Indigenous artist Vincent Namajira brings a unique perspective to the canvas, humorously challenging colonial narratives through his artwork. With pieces featuring iconic figures like Queen Elizabeth, Namajira's paintings are not just visually engaging, but are also rich in commentary and history. Vincent Namajira's journey to recognition is a story of resilience. Despite facing a challenging upbringing, his talent and determination have led him to win prestigious awards and gain international acclaim. Beyond his personal success, Namajira is committed to lifting up the next generation of artists. Through mentorship, he plays a pivotal role in preserving and promoting Indigenous culture within the realm of contemporary art. Namajira's work, along with the creations of other Indigenous artists such as Cheryl Rose, Aidan Hartshorne, Jan Baljigil Gunjaka Griffiths, and Sophie Hones, is currently showcased in prominent Australian galleries. The exhibitions, held at the National Gallery of Australia and the Ian Potter Centre, delve into themes of family history and displacement. By providing a platform for these artists, the exhibitions aim to amplify Indigenous Australian voices in the art world. The displays, which are set to run through July and August, offer visitors a chance to engage with and reflect on the rich tapestry of Indigenous experiences and perspectives. Through his art and advocacy, Vincent Namajira contributes significantly to the reclamation of Indigenous culture and the representation of Indigenous voices in contemporary art. His work, alongside that of his peers, serves as a powerful reminder of the importance of diversity and dialogue in the arts. See, in a turn of events that has rocked the Australian Football League Women's, or AFLW, Sydney Swans players Alexia Hamilton and Paige Shepherd find themselves sidelined. The duo has been handed a two-match suspension following a December incident involving the purchase of cocaine from a so-called dealer operation in Sydney's East. This case has not only brought the players into the spotlight, but also triggered a broader discussion on the AFL's stance on drug use among athletes. Hamilton and Shepherd pleaded guilty to drug possession and were fortunate to receive a 12-month conditional release order, sparing them a criminal record. Their actions, however, did not go unnoticed by the AFL, which swiftly imposed sanctions for what it deemed conduct unbecoming and damaging to the sport's reputation. The league is now taking a hard look at its illicit drug policy, signalling potential inclusion of AFLW players in future revisions. The players have since stepped forward, expressing remorse for their actions and the ensuing impact on their team and the broader league. Their apologies come amidst a backdrop of disappointment from the club and support for the AOFL's decision. Notably, neither Hamilton nor Shepherd tested positive for banned substances under the Australian Football Anti-Doping Code, a fact that adds a layer of complexity to the incident. This episode has underscored the AFL's ongoing battle with off-field issues and the importance of maintaining high standards of conduct. As the league reviews its illicit drug policy, with an eye toward including AFLW players, the community watches closely. The hope is that this incident serves as a catalyst for positive change, reinforcing the message that athletes, as public figures, bear a significant responsibility to uphold the values of their sport and community. In a dramatic rebound from the pandemic slowdown, Sydney and Melbourne have together welcomed a staggering 310,000 new residents in just 1 year, a record spurred by the influx of international students. This unprecedented growth marks a significant turning point in Australia's urban landscape, particularly after the COVID-19 pandemic had put a temporary halt to the bustling movement of people across borders. The details reveal Melbourne's population surged by 166,000, while Sydney saw an increase of 142,600, setting a new record for both cities in terms of annual population growth. This is the first instance where each city has added over 140,000 residents within a single year. A notable portion of this growth can be attributed to migrants settling in inner city areas and moving into student accommodations, highlighting the vital role of international students in Australia's urban expansion. A closer look at the numbers unveils a stark reality. Without the contribution of overseas migrants, Sydney's population would have experienced a decline. In contrast, Melbourne's population growth remained positive thanks to a natural increase where the number of births outpaced deaths. This shift signifies the end of the pandemic-era slowdown in major city population growth, with regions like Geelong also witnessing rapid expansion. The narrative of growth extends beyond the metropolitan to the suburbs and beyond, with areas such as Armstrong Creek attracting new residents. Meanwhile, Perth and Brisbane also contributed to the population boom, adding 80,000 and 78,000 residents respectively. The Gold Coast and Sunshine Coast have seen their population soar by over 70% since the turn of the century, underscoring the widespread nature of this demographic shift. However, this rapid urban development is not without its challenges. Concerns have been raised about the potential lack of green spaces in newly developed suburbs, a crucial aspect of urban planning that impacts community well-being and environmental sustainability. As Australia navigates this period of significant growth, the balance between development and preservation remains a pivotal concern. In a significant turn of events, the Melbourne casino scene is set for a change as Crown Resorts secures approval to keep its doors open under new ownership, and after a hefty penalty for past misdeeds. This decision marks a pivotal moment for the gambling industry in Victoria, signalling a move towards stricter oversight and accountability. Previously embroiled in controversy, Crown Resorts faced a $250 million fine for its involvement in money laundering and facilitating terrorism. This dark chapter prompted a rigorous review and overhaul of its operations under the watchful eye of the Victorian Gambling and Casino Control Commission and its new owner, Blackstone. The approval to continue operating in Melbourne comes as a testament to the significant reforms undertaken by Crown to rectify its past errors. However, this green light is not a blanket absolution. The Commission has made it clear that Crown's permission to operate is conditional, emphasising that it retains the authority to act against the casino should it revert to its old ways. In a move towards transparency and public accountability, a special manager's report, which scrutinises Crown's conduct, will be shared with the public. And amidst this backdrop, the Victorian government is not sitting idle. It's spearheading reforms aimed at fortifying the gambling sector against future misconduct. A notable measure includes linking electronic gaming machines directly to a player's identity, a step that could revolutionise responsible gambling practices. The Commission's stern warning hangs in the air. Any regression to previous misconduct will not be tolerated, and legal consequences will follow. This decision is a clear message that, while Crown Resorts may continue to operate, the path ahead is one of vigilance and reform, with no room for complacency. This has been your daily brief in Australian news. To read more about these stories, follow the links in the episode bio. You can also subscribe to these updates via email at www.brief.news. For more daily podcasts about the topics you love, visit brief.news/podcasts. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be back with everything you need to know.